football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Okay, welcome to the CBFA finale of 2024. We're wrapping it up here, and we've got Grant Pollock joining us as our special guest. So thanks for joining us, Grant.
James, my pleasure. Always like coming on.
So we were just going to do a quick wrap-up here. We had quite a fun and successful season. It was a little bit different in that we had two teams playing under one banner, so that allowed for an unbalanced schedule, which took away a playoff game, but enhanced, I think, the competitiveness and the certainly the excitement in the playoffs. There was a lot of close games.
Yeah, I mean, it was too bad to lose the Hilltoppers, but, you know, a number of the players went to the Lions and a number went to the Rebels too, James, and it really helped the Rebels program out immensely this year, and it allowed them to enjoy success they haven't had in a long, long time. And there's some dispute as to whether the Rebels have ever won a city division championship. I don't think they have as the Rebels. Maybe an incarnation of an older team, the Broncos or whatever they were called many years ago. So, I was happy about that. Nonetheless, the changes weren't maybe good for some. I thought it was great for the Rebels, and it made that team more competitive, and it was fun to watch.
Right. And so going into next year, we are expecting the Hilltoppers to be back. So,
is that true? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that was the plan right from the start. Basically, they were going to take a year off, and then they're going to come back and rejoin the league in 2025. So we look forward to that. I'm sure the schedule makers will enjoy creating a more balanced schedule this year. It'll be a little bit easier, although, you know, now they've got a template, so...
Does that mean the season won't start as early as it did this year because of the, or will it start still the second last weekend in August, as far as you know?
As far as I know, this season started at the same time as all of them in the past.
Okay.
Basically,
seems earlier to me.
The second last weekend in August, and it depends on how the calendar falls. Usually there's one playing Sunday, one game Sunday in August. The weekend before that is the Jamboree, which we saw had great success this year.
Yeah, sure did. Big money.
So yeah, we're looking forward to that. But that's usually how the season kicks off. So that was, you know, right on track, and I expect it to be the same again this year. It's usually, I believe it's built on the provincial schedule when they do, like the Football Alberta will set their schedule for the provincial finals and all of that. And our schedule makers just work backwards from there.
Okay. Okay. Huh. I learned something tonight. Thank you for that.
There you have it. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say not to sugarcoat the regular season completely, there were a lot of lopsided games. It'd be nice. I don't know how you can get around that. It's tough when you make the schedule, the divisions of the haves and have-nots, or the not as good, whatever it is, it's tough to predict. But there were a number of good games. I think, to me, the big story, despite the Raiders winning the city championship come playoff time, to me, the big story, there are stories in the regular season, was the play of the Colts. I don't know if anybody predicted it. I don't know if you did or Cole did or anybody. But they were phenomenal to watch. especially when they didn't have their regular quarterback, who was injured, I believe, during training camp or at some point, and they had to use Weston Schmidt as a quarterback, and they were phenomenal to watch. I was surprised they didn't win the series. Of course, the Raiders were a great team too, but to me, the Colts were an outstanding story in the game. So fun to watch with Chris Truscott as the head coach, and a really tough physical defense that was exciting to watch. Now, of course, they came up a little late come the playoff time, and the Raiders, full marks, great team. But to me, the
Sure.
Colts were a good story, James, during the regular season. And the other one, we touched on it, the Rebels too. Just so much more success than they've had in many years. And so those two teams, I think, deserve big credit for me and get the big headlines as the stories of the regular season.
For sure. And just to put a point on that, the Colts played really well all year, and they were obviously a bit of a surprise to most of us. And the difference in that city championship was only a single point. So,
40, what, 47, 46?
it's as close as you can get, right? Without
Yeah,
actually
well,
getting there. So,
phenomenal game too.
kudos to the Colts on a fabulous season. I thought for me, what stood out was in what we all expected would be a year of regression for the Cowboys. They got better and better as the season went along, and I think we can expect them to be back in the top half of the standings. Sooner than later. So for me, that was
Well,
the team that stood out among a lot of great stories, like you said.
I mean, I don't know if I would classify the Cowboys as standing out, but I think you're right. It was a great story in the fact that they're always so strong. Haven't they won three cities in a row, three championships in a row, and always one of the teams to beat? And head coach Al Cooper is always saying every year, despite the fact they've always had good teams, that it's a rebuilding year. It's kind of a running joke. And but I think this year clearly it was. But as you say, they got better and better, and they had the lead in the finals in the Div 2 city championship on the Wildcats. But the Wildcats just came on in that second half, so they were right there. You're right, they really came on. So that's going to be really good for next year, if they can be back to where they are, and we get those top teams really battling it out. That'll be fun to watch.
For sure. And Cole hasn't joined us yet tonight, but
Well, we don't
he
need them
was
right now.
we don't need him right now.
No.
He gave a pretty good rundown of what happened in Vegas with the CBFA selects in the previous episode. So we can go back and listen to that if you haven't yet. And
Well, was
that's
James, I was just
good
going to say,
updates.
I was talking to their head coach, Greg Peterson, at the All-Star banquet last week, and I was just asking him about the experience. I know what happened on the field, that they won, but he thought it was a great experience. They had some physical games. They had some games where they routed. He thought the best game was the game against Saskatchewan, so they went all that way down there. And he thought their best game, the most entertaining game, the most exciting game, was against their, provincial neighbors, which is kind of interesting to go down to Vegas. So I asked, and he, I don't know if you have you heard Greg tell his story that when he was a college player at Brigham Young University, he went to the Holiday Bowl, I think it was a few times, and he learned the experience of what it's like for guys. Young guys to go somewhere and have a real, almost professional type experience, a real different experience. So he tries to do that every year when he goes down to Vegas or somewhere in the States. He really treats it seriously, but yet they can have fun. And he takes pride in the fact it's a unique experience for these Bantam kids from Calgary who may have not been down there before. Of course, those that have returned experienced it the year before. But Greg takes a lot of pride. He does a great job. It seems like the parents enjoy it with their kids being down there too. It just seems like a real positive time for players, parents, and the coaching staff who goes down there from the CBFA.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program, and we've heard nothing but positive things from anyone who's been on one of those trips, and we know that a lot of the players that do get to experience that have a little better understanding of what they're in for when they get into the higher levels of football, and it only
Yeah.
serves them well in the future.
That's right. It's not just about the experience to have fun and play football, but they're going to take that knowledge and that kind of experience that they want to have again. They'll look for programs that will do that for them, and they'll be prepared for the next level or two or three away from Bantam football. So good on the CBFA to provide that. Good on luckily, we have a guy who's done it for over 20 years in Greg Peterson. And guys like Dan Peterson and Ron Logan help enable it, make it happen
Yeah,
financially, and do all the checks and balances to make it happen.
for sure. And a shout out as well to CBFA board member Lana Blackburn, who helps organize the Stampeders
50-50.
50-50 volunteers, which is huge, absolutely massive in the financial aspect of how the CBFA operates.
Yes, Lana Blackburn, the CBFA Fred Toon Volunteer of the Year, most outstanding volunteer of the year. So applaud her.
That's right. And we to wrap up, I guess we had a great evening at the Italian Club, and got to celebrate all of the All-Stars and CBFA award winners. It was a wonderful evening, and it's always nice to see all those players dressed up in their finest, and to be able to see their faces and their hair. You don't get to see all the hair under when they're wearing the helmet,
Yeah,
so that's always a
you're right.
fun evening.
You're right, James. I get a kick out of that too because you and I see them every Saturday, and most often with their helmets on. We know them by numbers and stature, I guess, physical stature and uniforms. But to see them kind of dressed up and their hair, as you say, some have a lot of hair. And good looking guys and girls. I thought that was pretty cool this year too. There were two women, two girls, both from the Wildcats, Brielle McDonald Ropchan and Oakland Winger. Were all stars, so that was pretty cool too. Yeah, it's really fun to see them in a different atmosphere. And I had a good chance to talk to some of the parents who were really thrilled with the season and how we handled things and the All-Star. I thought one interesting thing that came out of the All-Star banquet was the top running backs, because there were so many good ones that there often are. So there were two, Devonnie Brown and Donte Smith, were chosen as the two running backs in the top position award. So there's a guy named Sam Willey, who's a pretty good running back too. He plays for the Bulldogs, and from what I understand, and I think the CBFA, when they did this selection, they were aware that they announced the top running backs first. And of course, as I said, it was Devonnie Brown from the Raiders and Donte Smith from the Colts. And I heard from Coach Glenn Verban from the Bulldogs stable. You know, they all kind of looked around the table. Sam didn't get picked as the best running back or one of them. But he did get picked next as the best all-round MVP type player for the whole CBFA, and that brought smiles to the whole table. And I think that was just as well served for all three of those great running backs, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sam was the ultimate utility man for the
Yeah.
Bulldogs. They had him at quarterback, and they had him do it all. And he was the the engine that really drove that team. So
Yeah,
it
because he
was
wasn't
a
supposed to be a quarterback, was he? He
no, he
the
had to
number one,
fill
yeah.
in. That's right. So it was a last minute, and like you mentioned at the banquet, it was maybe a bit reluctantly accepted at first, but he stepped up and he did not only did the job, he did a fantastic job and well deserved for him on that MVP award. And yeah, it's tough when you get so many quality players, and it's hard to make those decisions. So kudos to Dan and Logie and everyone
Yeah,
who
on
had
the
to make
selection committee.
those picks. Yeah,
Yeah,
they did a good job of spreading the love around.
and I think for a guy like Sam, who did play quarterback reluctantly, he is a running back. His future will be as a running back at high school, and I'm sure he'll make it in college somewhere. That to be able to do both, and he got better at it. Do you know who the Bulldogs compared him to? Do you remember Tim Tebow?
Oh, yeah.
When he played in the NFL briefly, but of course, was at the University of Florida? I think it was Florida State or Florida, where he was that running quarterback, wasn't he? And Sam was
Yes.
much like that too. Good, strong runner that the defenses had trouble tackling, and
Yeah.
not much of a thrower, but I think Sam would probably be the first to admit that was not his forte in throwing, though he did okay in that area, but
Sure.
yeah, much like Tim Tebow. Kind of fun to watch him play.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Tim Tebow, and he was known for his running, but when I think of
Yeah.
him, I always remember that overtime pass.
Yes.
That wow, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he could pass too.
He could zip it. So
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
again, not a bad person to be compared to.
No. No, that's right too. And I, Sam's a strong young man. He's got that the runner's body, strong torso.
Yeah.
I think he's destined to, once he gets even bigger and stronger as he grows up, he's going
Yeah.
to be good. That's one thing I enjoy doing, James. I like checking to see where our bantam grads go to. A lot of the success the Ernest Manning Griffins have had in high school football, maybe not this year as much, but in recent years, are from the Wildcats. They say 60 to 70% of the Ernest Manning high school team are Wildcat grads, and of course, St. Francis Browns won the senior high school this year, and a lot of come from the Cowboys. So it's kind of fun to watch the grads and where they're going, and even at youth
Yeah.
sports level too. So I'm going to watch Sam. I'm sure Sam's going to make it big somewhere.
Absolutely. All right. And speaking of going places, I understand that you are going to be spreading your wings and heading eastward in the new year.
Yeah, unfortunately, the downside to that, probably that this was my last season with Calgary Bantam football, and I'm kind of sad about that because I've really, really enjoyed my time with you guys and calling the games up in the PA. I've had a lot of fun. I had some good feedback, so that's been great. But in 1983, so what's that, 41 years ago, I left Ontario, Southern Ontario, to come out here and pursue a sports casting career, to extend my sports casting career. But being a Southern Ontario kid, I was in my 20s, I thought I'd come out here for a few years and go back. And I don't know how many a few years are, two, three, four, five. Well, it's been 41. Now I'm going back. But I'm not going back for a career or because I don't like it out here anymore. I love it out here. I wish I could stay in Calgary longer. But for family reasons, my kids were born and raised here, and they've now gone to post-secondary and stay in the East with getting jobs and all that. And my daughter's going to have a baby this February, and so I promised her, and she wanted us all to be active grandparents, talking about my wife and I. So we're going to follow through in that promise to be active grandparents. So that's why we're heading down there in just over a year. So I might be around Gold Ice next fall once in a while. Maybe I'll be one of those yard guys, holding the sticks and listening to you guys from the booth. So That's my plan. So yeah, I'm heading in probably just over a year from now.
Wow. Well,
Yep.
it's bittersweet. Obviously, for us, we're happy for you, and congratulations on the expanding family and
Thank you.
everything else. I know
Thank you.
we're gonna miss you, but at the same time, we know that you're enjoying life, and that's all we can ever hope to achieve ourselves. So,
Yeah.
you're
As I say,
always
it's not a
welcome back.
decision. Yeah, it's not a decision that I'm saying I've had enough or I don't like it anymore. It's doing it for, I think, the right reasons, family reasons. Can't go wrong there, but I'm going to miss Calgary big time when it happens. But we'll worry about that later on.
Well, yeah,
I
the
have,
planes fly both ways, just so you
yeah,
know.
that's true. I have no idea what's Bantam football like in Ontario. Do you know Toronto?
You
I don't really
know,
know. I
I
don't
don't
know.
know much about it at all, but I would love to be able to connect with you on a Zoom call now and then just to get some updates on
Yeah.
what it's like out there.
I'll do some scooping around. Again, that's not for a while yet.
Oh yeah.
But a lot of Ontario boys play for these universities down in Ontario, like Laurier and Western and Queens, those kind of schools that get some, Vanier Cup potential. So there's got to be some good minor football down there. I'll
Yeah,
have to look for that. But
I
again,
would think
I
so.
might be around. I want to be a guest on your podcast next year when I hang out at Shoal Dice, two or three times a year.
Excellent. Keep an eye out for you.
Okay.
Great.
Are
Thanks
we,
again, Grant. And
James, this has been fun. This has been fun. Always enjoy sitting in chatting Bantam football with you. It's a lot of fun for me to do, and you do a great job.
well, thank you very much, and we sure appreciate you having the time for us every Saturday all through the season that the seasons that you've been around. You're a mainstay at the park, and yeah, you will be missed.
Well, thank you.
And on
It
that
was
note,
always a, yep.
go ahead. Last word.
I was just going to say it was a thrill to meet the parents who come up and say, "We love the job you guys do in the PA. It really makes it fun to come to Shoal Dice." So, and that always makes it fun for you and I and Kevin and Cole. So, thank you, parents, and thank you, James. And we'll talk to you next season.
You bet. And thank you to our listeners on another wonderful year of football. We'll try to get some off-season stuff if we can, but if not, we will catch up with you next August. So
Bye
thank you
now.
very much. Bye-bye. And in Cole's absence, go football. Perfect.
Thanks, James.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Finally, remember to bring water and snacks to Shoal Dice Park on game day. We look forward to the return of Superfan Snacks. For now, they remain closed. Thanks for listening.